I mean, what else do you start with?
No, yeah.
I believe every child, every male child of the 80s became an instant Cars fan without even knowing they were a Cars fan.
Right, because of this?
Because of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I ran multiple video stores in the late 90s, and this, there was this, the Cars scene.
Yeah.
This song was very worn out in the VHS tapes.
It's so funny.
Of all of them.
It's so funny because I remember you telling me a story, and I didn't even remember the concept of tracking until you brought it up.
Yep.
Where people would complain that they tried tracking, but it would not work with that particular part of the film.
The funny part about even more than that was, today I was watching the DVD, and there was a behind the scenes, a documentary type of thing. And Amy Heckerling, actually, the director of the movie, actually brought up the fact that many people had brought up to her that the VHS in that scene had been, like, worn out. Like, there was excessive tracking in that scene from pausing and rewinding.
That's so funny.
And I'm like, yeah. It was 97, 98 when I was doing the video store thing. That was easily, I mean, this came out in 82, so it was many years after that, and it was still that moment for many, many, many an 80s male.
Yeah, right.
It is that movie show. Welcome in, everybody. Mike Went, Liam Stryker, Bill Neville behind the board, and we are covering the 1982 classic, and I don't use it lightly, classic Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah. So I remember watching this movie, and I remember when I first saw it.
Go on.
Not really enjoying it.
Okay. Why not?
I think that for me, the hype outlived the movie the first time.
When was the first time you saw it?
It had to have been sometime between 2006 and 2008.
Way later.
Well, right. One way later.
Way later.
Two, I was in high school at the time.
Okay. So arguably, I'm older than all of you here. But, yeah. Arguably? But, arguably. Yeah. But.
Definitively.
But you saying you've seen it in the 2000s.
Right.
I had probably seen it 40 times at that point.
I understand. I also understand that, like, here's the thing, and everybody's going to be on me about this. I'm not a huge music guy to begin with, but okay. I'm not a huge fan of the Beatles.
Okay.
All right? Not because of anything bad about them.
I'm not a Beatles fan either, and they have nothing to do with this movie.
Right. But the reason why I don't like the Beatles is because I understand that without them, we don't have the music that I like.
Okay.
But yeah, you're fine. If you wanted to bring in the movie show, a movie analogy, Citizen Kane revolutionized film in the way that film angles were made. Okay. But I don't like Citizen Kane because that movie blows. Because everything that
hot
makes,
takes.
Everything that makes it everything
the
that,
number one film in the AFI fucking film catalog.
Right. Yeah, I don't like it because everything that makes it special is commonplace now.
Okay.
Right? And so that's kind of how I felt.
When's
about
the last time you watched Citizen Kane?
I watched it maybe like
once,
4 or 5
once,
years ago.
Right.
No, I've seen it.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it at least 8 times.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so
that's a lot for a movie you don't like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough. So this I feel
but this movie you like.
I this movie.
Are we getting there?
No, we're not getting there.
Oh shit! Okay, fair enough. I'm gonna back the fuck off.
This movie, for me, I understand that it kind of sets the tone as like a high school film.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen so many different high school films since then.
Okay.
That speak more to my high school going experience.
All right, which was
that was you know, the American Pies. Kind of hit that for me. That
graduated when?
I graduated in 2007.
Fair enough. Okay.
So that's kind of where I'm going. Like, okay. That type of You know, the dude, Dude Wears My Car is in a high school movie, but, you know,
kind of is,
kind of sort of is, but,
that American Pie generation.
Yeah. That American Pie generation.
Okay.
And I understand that without this movie,
so a lot of this doesn't resonate with you.
Yeah. Like
is what you're saying.
Now having watched it again for this movie,
mm-hmm.
Or for the show, for this movie show, I enjoyed it a lot more. I think that the lack of experience
you enjoyed it in retrospect.
Right. I think the lack of life experiences that I had in high school watching this film didn't help me connect with it the way that having these life experiences now, sure. 2 decades later.
Sure.
I
get you. All right, let's get the business out of the way before we get into the movie. Budget of $5 million, modest at the time.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, at the time, actually, that was a decent budget. Came back with 27.1 domestic, 50 million international. And it was released on August
13th. That's kind of crazy if you think about
it. Yeah, $50 million.
Yeah.
For Fast Times.
Yeah.
Yeah. August 13th, 1982, it was a summer release. It was just at the end of the summer releases.
Right.
Because back then they actually did summer releases in the summer as opposed to now where, you know, we have Infinity War in April.
Yeah.
But whatever. It was written by Cameron Crowe, who of course is famous for Almost Famous. But it was based on his book. He wrote a book called Fast Times at Ridgemont High, a true story, which was he was more journalist than a screenwriter,
right.
in his early years, and he turned this they just kept buying his books,
okay.
and buying his articles, and he wrote a book called Fast Times at Ridgemont High, a true story, and this turned into that. It was directed by Amy Heckerling, who of course went on to Clueless.
Yep.
And starring pretty much every single famous actor you knew in the 80s.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy when you looked at it. It's kind of crazy.
Run it down. Sean Penn, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Judge Reinhold, Phoebe Cates, Brian Becker, Ray Walston, and where's the rest of my cast here? Let's see.
Forrest Whitaker. I mean, he's just more fun that he's in this movie. Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Okay. So this is Nicolas Cage. I wanted to get into, before we even got into the movie, I wanted to get into the casting of it. This movie was cast basically, it was cast on who you lived near.
Right.
So Eric Stoltz and Anthony Edwards.
Okay, yeah.
Shared an apartment with Ally Sheedy. Uh-huh. Ally Sheedy had an audition for Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yep.
They went with her. She didn't get it. She cast a bit too old.
Okay.
And they were just kind of fucking around in the hallway. And the casting director, Don Phillips, and Don Phillips over the next 2 weeks of that movie show is going to come up quite a bit because he also cast Dazed and Confused. But Don Phillips was there, and he found he's a master of finding young talent.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
He is.
No, he is.
If you look at the he also cast Animal House.
Yes.
Okay.
So no, he's very good.
So three.
Yeah. It's just funny when we tie this back to Nicolas Cage and you realize what Nicolas Cage's real name is.
Well, so he's casting all these people. So Eric Stoltz and Anthony Edwards are fucking around. Eric Stoltz gets auditioned for Spicoli.
Okay.
Eric Stoltz is their first choice for Spicoli before they find Sean Penn.
Yeah.
Then they find Sean Penn, of course, and they're like, okay, Sean Penn is fucking Sean fucking Penn. He had done theater.
Yeah.
He had done a couple of movies. So he's like, okay, let's bring him in and let's move him to this and this to that. Same thing with Judge Reinhold.
Yeah.
Now, Brad, their original choice was Nicholas Coppola.
Okay. Okay.
Also known as Nicolas Cage. Later then known as Nicolas Cage.
Right.
Their problem was he had lied to them.
Oh.
He had said he was 19. He was 17.
Okay.
They couldn't work with him for as many hours legally.
Yeah, the child labor laws.
Unless you're 18. So they were like, we need somebody that's at least 18 for the role of Brad.
Yeah.
And so Amy Heckerling's assistant was dating Judge Reinhold and was living in the apartment above Amy Heckerling.
Okay.
Amy Heckerling and her assistant bring Judge Reinhold in. And
it's just so funny. Every time I hear Judge Reinhold, I assume that he's a real judge.
I thought the same thing.
Mock trial with Judge Reinhold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like a TV judge.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Judge Judy.
Yeah, right.
So they bring him in without telling the producers because they didn't want it to be like, oh, well, they're just bringing Amy's friend's boyfriend in to fill this spot.
Right.
And he auditioned and got the part. So it was all a matter of where you lived and who you lived with,
right,
to get this role. The funniest part of it was Jennifer Jason Leigh, because she was 19,
right,
and so was Phoebe Cates.
She looks like a child.
Exactly. They were the same age, but Jennifer Jason Leigh looks so young.
Yeah.
That there was so many problems in production with this movie. They were like, you can't show her doing that. Like, no,
she's 18.
It's okay. Including actually in an extracted scene that was cut because of an X rating.
Oh, really?
It included a full frontal scene from Mike Damone.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
So they were okay with the female nudity, but Mike Damone, yeah, which was Robert Romanus, I'm going with.
Yeah.
The actor's name.
Romanus?
But yeah, during their
sexiness,
their sex scene, there was a lot of male frontal nudity, which actually Amy Heckerling in the DVD commentary went over. She's like, this scene, like she's talking as like they're showing him coming. With his feet fluttering and stuttering. And she's like, this was so much longer, and there was a lot more of his dick and stuff like this in the movie. And they're like, they just wouldn't allow it.
They wouldn't.
And they've never released the footage. But also to the point that Universal in 1985 threw away all the film.
Really?
So there's no way to go back, like,
right? They just don't have it.
They don't have it.
Yeah,
It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, they burned it.
It's not like they burned, and I'm not saying this because it was, you know, dick scene. They burned the film.
Yeah,
like they threw away all the film. Right. It was just like,
yeah, they
we need there was room a, in this storage facility.
Right, there was a locker that had Fast Times at Ridgemont High in it. We needed to clear it out, and they cleared out all of
it. Right,
okay, that makes sense.
So it was one of those things that the reason you never get one of those, you know, 4K scan Blu-ray,
it
doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's
these are the only prints that exist now.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we'd all like to see Mike Damone's dick.
We all wanted to. That's what I was thinking about it when I was watching that scene. I
know you are.
You know what this is missing?
I know you are. So, yeah. Fast Times, Ridgemont High. Let's get into it.
Let's do it, man. Brad Hamilton. I love him.
Here's the funny thing. Brad Hamilton is the star of this movie.
He is.
Not Jeff Spicoli, as most.
Maybe I think that might have also been why the first time I was expecting Sean Penn to be Spicoli, and it's like, wow.
Well, they wanted him to be.
Yeah.
They wanted him to be. It was one of those moments where it's like, oh, Brad is actually the star of this movie.
Right.
You know.
Brad's the main character of this movie. It's his journey that we're following. And Spicoli just kind of comes in and out.
He's flowing in and out.
Right. And I think that might have been the other part of the reason why I didn't gravitate towards it the first time was it was like, I expect...
You thought it was a stoner comedy.
I thought it was going to be a stoner comedy with Sean Penn as this stoner, and it was going to be like, ha, this is funny, but also, ha, you just won an Academy Award.
Oh, so you had seen it then. That's right. You had seen it much later.
Yeah.
When Sean had won the Academy Award.
Right.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. But the funny thing about even looking at this cast, this cast has one of those two-year type of things. Like, in 2 years...
They're everybody.
They're everybody. Judge Reinhold, in 2 years, Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
In 2 years, Rat and Arnold, the character names,
right,
are in Police Academy.
Oh, yeah.
In 2 years, there was another one that I had. I'm going to have to keep looking.
Well, everybody. I mean, this was...
But Anthony Edwards, excuse me. In 2 years, Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Came out.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it was one of those movies that this kind of propelled people in 2 years. In 2 years, Valley Girl came out, Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, right.
You know, so it was like, shit, if we had made this in 2 years, Nicolas Cage would have been a star and he would have been Brad.
Yeah, right. But you know what? I also think...
But I don't think Nicolas Cage would have worked for this.
Because Judge Reinhold, in everything that he's had, everything that he does, he has this boyish charm to him.
Sure.
And I think that Brad's sincerity throughout the entire movie really just kind of carries over and makes it you root for him. Because you feel for him when he's going to kick 100% of that dude's ass.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you feel for him.
The funny part about Brad Hamilton.
Yeah.
Is he comes across like a tough guy, but he's not.
Right. But he feels like every single, like, suburban dude.
Like he gets fired from All American Burger, and he's like, fuck Dennis Taylor, that wimp. I'll kick his ass. It's like, you?
Are you?
Are you gonna?
I don't know.
You're gonna work at Captain Fishbones over there.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But yeah, that's, you know, he's charming, and you root for him.
He is charming.
You know, and you root for him the whole time. And he kind of just fits the mold, and you know, he fit the mold as
Lily Rosewood.
Yeah, right. And then also fit the mold as, and I forget the character's name, but the stepfather in
Vice Versa.
No, the stepfather in the Santa Claus.
Oh, even that.
You know what I mean?
Further.
Even further. Because that's
I was going Fred Savage and Vice Versa. That whole the body swap thing.
Oh yeah.
They did that. They did that one.
Yes, because the first thing that I had ever seen him in was the Santa Claus.
Shows your age.
Yeah.
Also shows my age.
Yeah.
Because I had seen Vice Versa.
Right. Right.
Yeah. On cable.
On cable. Yeah. Yeah. So that's how I feel about Brad.
Fuck, I'm old.
Yeah. Well, we're learning things today. We're learning. Mm. You know, then we're introduced to Brad's sister, Stacy.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be 15.
She is.
And she just sneaks out. They copied the scene of her sneaking out in the that episode where Peter goes back to high school.
With Ron Johnson, stereo salesman.
Yeah. Ron Johnson,
Ron Johnson, stereo salesman.
Totally bone in the dugout of a softball field.
Gross fucking in a fucking Little League dugout.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really, really weird.
With Nazi scum graffiti on the fucking dugout.
Yeah, yeah, everything. Everything about it is just absolutely, absolutely gross.
Except for the soundtrack.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's gotta be somebody's baby.
She's gonna be somebody's only line.
With listening to Amy Heckerling and Cameron Crowe's DVD commentary today, the soundtrack was not what she wanted.
Yeah,
because she was more of a punk chick.
Okay,
and the studio made her go with more of a poppy bubblegum type of feel to it. And I mean, I don't know. I only know Fast Times as Fast Times. I would love to see a weird Sex Pistols, Ramones type of fucking Fast Times.
Yeah, I think it feels better with who Stacy is supposed to be, though.
I agree.
You know, so I think that while
I agree in the moment.
Right. In the moment, it just feels better just because I don't know if like having a punk rock song happening during there would have fit.
Well, I don't think she meant every scene.
No,
but,
no. But
but there was a lot of them that was,
you know, because like this song definitely fits, especially because like this girl's losing her virginity. Let's also talk about the weird, creepy 26-year-old that's totally having sex with the minor.
Ron Johnson.
Stereo salesman. You know, and then that dude just straight up ghosts.
Yeah, but all the fucking pizza chicks were fucking all over him.
Yeah, right.
Because the mall was the happening place to be in the 80s. It was the 80s, man.
I know.
Hey, Rad, is Dolly Parton giving you a cut of the movie? Because clearly it was 9 to 5 that was fucking showing in the movie.
Right. Yeah. So she ends up kind of falling. Speaking of the movie theater, she ends up kind of falling for Mike Damone, the scalper at the movie theater.
Well, he's a scalper all over the place.
Right. But I just remember looking at it and being like, this is so dated. Mm. Being a scalper at a movie theater. Like,
well, he was friends with Rat,
right?
He was friends with Mark Ratner, and Rat worked at the movie theater.
Yep,
he was a ticket taker.
Yeah,
and basically that's kind of where he posted up.
Yeah,
he wasn't working there.
Right. Yeah,
he was posting up, doing his business.
Yeah, but wasn't part of his business
scalping what?
Scalping tickets to the movies.
No, it wasn't movies. It was concerts.
Oh, it was just concerts?
He was a concert scalper.
Okay.
Especially once it gets to the abortion scene.
Yeah.
You see his whole ledger.
Okay, yeah.
Which has, you know, yeah, abortion or Rod Stewart concert next to it.
Oh, jeez.
It was... Oh, this movie in 2018 is what hasn't aged well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
It's showing at the What Hasn't Aged Well Theater.
Yeah, this is the it goes from being a fun romp to like this is sad.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of underage fucking happening in this movie.
A lot of it. Oh, yeah.
Including Ron Johnson, Stereo Salesman.
But Rhett, you kind of end up rooting for him. Like you kind of see the thing that it's like, oh, he's like totally into Stacy, mm-hmm. and you kind of start rooting for that, especially because you know that Ron Johnson, Stereo Salesman's not calling back. You know,
no, and Rat's all in from Jump Street. He's looking across,
yeah,
from the movie theater into the pizza parlor. He's like, that's the one. She's my age. We're both going into high school. I'm like, I'm a sophomore. She's a freshman.
Yeah,
it's all gonna happen. Like,
yeah, just it feels right.
Feels right. But he doesn't know how to make the move.
No, because he's awkward.
But he needs that Mike Damone 5-point plan.
Right, exactly.
Oh, Debbie.
Yeah.
Debbie.
The 5-point plan.
Isn't this great?
Yes. Yeah.
As they're walking past what most of us in, you know, that went to high school in the 90s would call Sam Goody.
Yeah, right.
With Debbie Harry standing up.
Oh, that's right.
And he's trying to teach him how to make the move.
Right.
And it's just like, Debbie, isn't this great? The lady will have the linguine with clam sauce and a Coke with no ice.
Yeah.
Fucking Mike Damone.
Yeah. I mean, I like him. He's a bit of a shithead, but I like him.
He is the creepiest of creepies, but yeah, you know.
He's my creepy.
Without any judgment, he is wonderful.
Yeah. So basically, there's some classic high school miscommunication.
Sure.
Between Mark and Stacy.
Sure.
So they don't end up getting together, but
On the first jump.
She ends up getting together with Mike in the pool house.
Oh, you're jumping way Radiohead.
Yeah, okay, fine. Then you go.
You missed their whole date at the German restaurant.
That's right. I thought that came
Let's
later.
Pump the brakes a little
bit. Yeah, fine.
Let's pump the brakes a bit. Bill, we got time, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let's pump the brakes a little bit.
25 minutes.
All right. So, Phoebe Cates teaches her how to do a blowjob.
That's right. That's right.
If we're going to dive into Fast Times at Ridgemont High, we're going to dive into Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah.
She teaches Jennifer Jason Leigh how to do a blowjob with a carrot.
Yep.
Much to the applause to the 15-year-old extras.
Yeah, right. Yes, correct. Correct.
The only reason I'm bringing it up is because of the DVD commentary with Amy Heckerling being like, we didn't think we would be able to get this done.
Yeah.
We sent the dailies and Universal sent it back going, you cannot.
Yeah, you can't.
You
do that.
Can't make this movie.
Yeah.
Like they were going to shut down the fucking movie. God bless the producers because they went to bat for the movie. It was going so bad.
Right.
So, we get to the pool party.
Yes.
Well, let's get to that.
Yeah.
Because we got Brad Hamilton.
Yep.
Single successful guy.
Yeah.
Looking in the mirror, being like, yo, man, I'm
trying to pay off his car.
Single successful guy. Even though he's not. He's dating, what's her name?
Yeah.
Who also works at All American Burger.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
Special sauce, Thousand Island dressing.
Yeah, it's basically McDonald's. They couldn't pay for McDonald's. He's working at McDonald's. It also used to be a classier joint in the 80s.
I do love the lower classness of this high school movie.
Yeah.
You know, these kids aren't,
right. They're not loaded.
They're all working for a living.
Yeah, they're all loaded. They're not loaded.
They're either poor or they're working.
Right.
You know, you got Spicoli and his friends who show up.
And they're high.
High as fuck.
Yeah, right.
I got a nickel.
Yeah, right.
What do you got for me? Put your shirts back on.
Get out of here.
And of course, Brad gets fired.
Yep.
Because he tells the guy
to fight that guy.
He's going to fight him. He tells him to fuck off or something.
He tells him he's going to kick 100% of his ass.
100% of his ass. Yeah. Because 100% of his brunch wasn't quality.
Yeah. Oh, God.
At All American Burger.
Yeah.
He moves on to Captain Shanks, Captain Fox, or whatever the fuck his name is.
The fishbowl. The fish.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Fun fact, when he's going to deliver the seafood.
Now, Captain Hookfish and Chips.
Captain Hookfish and Chips. When he's going, when he's making the Captain Hook delivery.
Yeah.
The girl that laughs at him.
Yeah.
Cameron Crowe's girlfriend.
Okay.
It was her fun thing. And so in the commentary, he said that he jumped in the car after she did her little scene, took off. But they still had the radio, so
direct,
because obviously when you're driving in a movie, the director is talking to you through a two-way radio.
Yeah, right.
So they just kind of took off.
Yeah,
and they were like, "Where the fuck are you going?"
They didn't know.
They just took off. So we move.
Yeah.
Along.
So we're at the pool party.
We're at the pool party. Let's get to the pool party.
Yeah.
Because the pool party is the part of Fast Times that
everybody knows.
Everybody remembers.
Parodied a million times.
All right.
Breathe.
All right.
I believe in you. Yeah, Bill's really good at what he does.
He's good at what he does.
He is.
So, in the late 90s, I started running video stores.
Yes.
And this movie was the most damaged movie.
Yeah.
Is that the right way? Right word?
Yeah. Yes.
Everybody would come back complaining that there was a certain scene
that just
involving the cars.
Yeah.
And a couple of headlights.
That was really staticky.
Yeah.
Because everybody would pause and rewind and pause
That's
and rewind.
Funny.
And the funny thing is, if you own the Fast Times DVD, Amy Heckerling brings it up in the fucking documentary.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. I ran four video stores.
And they all same deal.
And the VHS tape of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, at that scene where Phoebe Cates takes her top off,
yeah,
was always staticky because every dude that rented it paused and rewound and paused and rewound.
Yep.
And this song is so fucking good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Bill.
Again, it captures everything. It captures everything about that 80s, like, high school sexiness.
The fun fact about that whole scene is Judge Reinhold, to climax that scene, pun intended, Phoebe Cates opens up the door looking for a Q-tip, and Judge Reinhold is jacking off.
Yeah.
Well, he actually brought a gigantic dildo to set.
Okay.
So he was jacking off like a huge dildo. So he just turns to her. So that shot when they are in the hallway and she's just horrified.
Yeah.
100% realistic.
That's the yes.
Very Ooh. Good. Everybody.
Yeah.
Stroke's the word.
Stroke. Stroke man. Stroke man. Yeah. And so this is also where we get Stacy and Damon.
Damone.
I call them Damon. Damone. They end up hooking up, and they have sex in the pool house.
Yeah.
And so, ultimately, we found out that there was footage of his dick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This would have been, that would have been doubling the length, pun intended.
Yep.
And we also later find out that Stacy has become pregnant.
Yeah.
This seems like it was very heavy for like the time, and I don't know if that's my, like, the movie takes like a real different turn at this
Briefly.
point. Yeah,
it's a brief turn, but it's also done on purpose.
Yeah.
They definitely wanted to put the levity of, you know,
yeah,
the teen pregnancy,
right? It feels kind of like what Grease wanted to do, where it was like Rizzo is debating on having an abortion or not.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all of a sudden we get a throwaway line at the end of the movie where it's like, I'm okay.
They wanted to do it, but they didn't have an R rating.
Right.
This one was like full all in on R rating.
Right.
Just to back up just a second on the Phoebe Cates scene. She actually, there was part of her that didn't want to do it.
Oh yeah, of course.
Not because of the nudity.
Yeah,
but because the neighbors in the neighborhood were on their roof
while watching.
Watching.
Yeah, of course.
So they had to kind of put a tarp up.
Yeah, right.
And be like a close set as much as possible.
Yeah, you had to close the set.
But right, yeah, that's pretty funny. For a minute, there was neighbors on the roof watching.
That's pretty funny. that's really, really funny.
But yes, so there is a bit of a teen pregnancy deal in there, and Brad has to take her to the bowling alley.
Right. Yeah, he takes her to the bowling alley. Yeah, he ends up seeing her go into the abortion clinic, and they confront each other. And, you know,
here's where I have the only real gripe with the movie.
Right.
So when Rat is on a date with Stacy.
Yeah.
He calls Mike Damone because he forgets his wallet.
Right.
Okay. And he tells Mike Damone, borrow your mother's car.
Yeah.
And come bring my wallet to the German restaurant.
Right.
Okay. So when Stacy gets pregnant and has to have the abortion on her own because Mike doesn't show up.
Yeah, right.
Phoebe Cates' character writes prick on the side of a gremlin.
Okay, yeah.
And then he drives that car to school with the cardboard taped to the car.
Right.
my only question is it his mother's car, or did at some point he buy a car?
I don't know. I think it has to be his mother's car.
Has to be his mother's car.
Right?
But does he... Because Rat wants him to borrow his mother's car.
Right. So maybe it's one of those situations where he drives her to work and then takes the car to school. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
I don't know.
It's the
only part of this movie that doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he said, borrow your mother's car. If he had just said, hey, go to my house.
Get my wallet. And
no fucking problem.
Right.
It's Mike Damone's gremlin.
Right. Or,
but now it's like, did she fuck up his mom's car?
Yeah.
And he not only put a piece of cardboard over it, drove his mom's car to school.
Right.
Because he did.
Yeah, right.
Now he's got a locker that says little prick on it as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. So maybe.
That's the only part that I was like, meh, yeah. that one doesn't feel kosher to me.
Yeah, I guess.
Go on.
I guess you're right. It's just the between Stacy and Brad after the abortion.
Right.
It just feels like there's no other real like repercussions after that so much.
Such as?
I'm trying to.
Meaning?
Meaning like they have their issue, and I feel like the movie needs to then be about that, and it never really does.
Yeah, but it was also the early 80s.
Right.
I mean, it was 82.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she was 15.
Right. No, I know. Right?
Getting an abortion and...
Yeah. They didn't want to talk about it.
You know, her brother got it. It's like, all right, you got fucked by a guy. You're not going to tell me about it.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know.
As long as mom and dad don't have to deal with this shit, I won't get in trouble.
Yeah, right. It's just, like I said, I felt like it's like, okay, yeah, and now we move on to the next thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So that's, it is what it is.
Hmm. So, we also have the ongoing conflict between Spicoli and Mr. Hand.
Yes, which is, it's funny because it's definitely a B-plot throughout the entire movie.
It is, despite in the original story apparently being the absolute A-plot.
Yeah, well, because it feels like there's a movie here.
Spicoli was originally the main character.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, well, Brad is much more interesting.
Right. Right, well, because Spicoli is fun, and I think that they used him well in the movie because I don't think a 2-hour stoner romp would have fit. I don't think it would have been able to carry the same.
I mean, it would have done well. I just don't think it would have done quite as well.
Right, because Brad has more heart.
Right,
and the story, Brad's story has more heart. Spicoli would have been fun. Would have been like Porky's. You know what I mean? Like, this movie would have been like Porky's.
Same year.
You know, where it's
same
like...
Same fucking year.
Yeah, where it's like, this is fun, and if it's on, fun.
Fun.
You know, but I don't think it would have reached the same status.
Stoner comedy, dick comedy.
Yeah, right.
Same fucking thing, man.
You get the hilarious daydream of Spicoli in the surfing championship.
Yep.
In the class. Then... You get the ordering of the pizza.
So the daydream originally offered the Johnny Carson, turned it down.
Okay.
Second, Tom Snyder.
Okay.
Was too drunk at the time.
That's funny.
According to Amy Heckerling's DVD commentary.
Yeah.
Went to Stu Nahan of Rocky fame.
So funny.
Fucking Stu Nahan.
Yeah, right.
And yes, in one of the greatest moment throwaway lines ever. Where'd you get that jacket?
Yeah.
The network gave it to me.
Yeah. Perfect, guys.
Most of the Sean Penn lines were, I mean, as you would, were improv.
Oh, of course.
But yeah. It was amazing how listening to the Cameron Crowe and Amy Heckerling break down that scene quickly over a DVD commentary was like, yeah, we went to Johnny Carson and then we went to Tom Snyder and Stu Nahum came in. He was a complete pro. Sean just kind of fucked with him a lot.
Yeah, of course, which is great.
Sean Penn, complete method actor, by the way. Completely to the point of changing his, at the time, answering machine to Jeff Spicoli.
That's right.
He wouldn't allow people to call him anything but Jeff. He was one of those...
Yeah, one of those guys. Which
method guys.
Which are kind of a douche, but we could talk about method at a different time.
I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan of it. You're an asshole.
Yeah.
You're an asshole.
It's like, be professional, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I've never been on set with Sean Penn, but...
I have.
Have you?
Yeah, Mystic River. That's the end of that story.
There we go.
That's the end of that story. Yeah, and so, but the conflict between him and Mr. Hand, I mean, obviously the pizza ordering is so funny.
Rest in peace, Tao and Egram. Pizza guy.
I wanted to do that so bad.
What? Do what now?
Order a pizza to have it delivered to my class.
Okay.
I wanted to do that so bad. I tried so hard.
You tried to order pizza to your class?
Yes, I did.
Okay, go on.
I did. So
tell us a story.
So there was a local pizza shop around the corner from my high school.
Sure.
And they delivered, obviously.
As you do.
And I called them, and I was like, look, here's the deal. I have this teacher, and we mess with each other.
Have you seen Fast Times?
And that's what I said. I was like, have you seen Fast Times? Or
really? Did you say
yeah.
It?
Okay. Yeah. And he goes, yeah, and I'm not delivering a pizza to your high school. Yeah. I was like, you... bastard.
So was that the only place you called?
No, I called three places. I called three places.
Oh my god. You bounced from three places.
Yeah,
well, pizza.
Yeah, because they're not gonna do this for a 17-year-old kid.
Because at that point, you were in high school when?
I was in high school in 2006, 2007.
They had seen that for 20 years.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So I tried to convince one of my buddies to do it,
uh-huh.
where it's like, we'll just get the pizza, you get a uniform, and then show up in the class.
So you were trying to get your friend to play a pizza
To play a pizza guy.
Okay, go on.
Right? And so... you know, much like most, it was a funny thing. It was going to be funny. It was going to be awesome. It was going to be great. And then it came like nut up time to like actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he got too embarrassed. And so,
oh my God, what a gay.
Right. So,
oh my, come on, man.
Yeah. He got cold feet at the end. He didn't want to do it. And I'm like,
not in that way.
I just like, oh, I mean, I'm like, dude, I just need you to show up. I'll buy the pizza.
Right.
I'll buy the pizza. Right.
Just be the pizza guy.
Just be the pizza guy.
He wouldn't do it.
He wouldn't do it. So.
Wow. That is a disappointing end to a sad story.
I know, right? It's just sad all the way
However,
around.
Jeff Spicoli did get his pizza delivered by Taylor Negron. Congratulations, and rest in peace, Taylor Negron, who is gone on. But... the great Mr. Hand.
Yeah. And so it's, he feels.
Let's talk about Mr. Hand for a second.
Mr. Hand feels like to me.
Let's do about 3 minutes on Mr. Hand.
Sure.
Ray Walston.
Yeah. Go on.
Go on.
Oh, fine. I'll go on then.
Go on.
The character of Mr. Hand feels far more like a combination of the principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off
mm-hmm.
and the teacher that runs detention in the Breakfast Club.
Right.
He feels like they'd hang out.
He almost feels like just right.
Yeah, right.
For a movie teacher.
Right. He comes from this place of like authority, and he wants to reach this kid, and he sees the potential, and he's trying to get the potential out of him.
Right.
While also being like messed with by this guy.
A little bit.
And so Mr. Hand is also... taking his authority to mess with this kid again.
Right. So Mr. Hand, of course, what did I say his name was? Shit. Ray Walston.
Yep.
Of course, passed away in 2001. He was one of those actors that kind of played the teacher in every movie, as you said. Yeah, he had that, just that right toughness, but not.
Yeah, because we all had that teacher,
right?
And he was a perfect embodiment of, you know, you seem like a dick, but when you look back on it, it was, no, I'm trying to teach you something, asshole. You know what I mean? Maybe that was just me, but that was definitely teachers I had.
And then he shows up, of course,
yeah,
for Jeff Spicoli's final moment.
Yes, because he's going to go to the dance, and they're going to have a one-on-one session.
Yeah, he has wasted approximately, and he's being fair.
Yeah,
8 hours of his time.
Yeah, so he's gonna waste 8 hours of Spicoli's
time. So he sits there and he goes over American history and blah 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 blah, and Spicoli does the standard, you know, it's the stoner resolution of American history,
right? Yeah,
and he's like, "Well, you're close,
yeah,
but you get the point,
yeah, right." You know, it's a fun B story. It pays off really well.
It does.
Which is all you can ask from a B story, really.
Right.
There were so many things that could have been in this, and I've been racking my brain trying to think of like a B character in a movie that doesn't have any purpose but just kind of shows up.
Right.
And I'm trying to think of one, but
well, one of the B stories that actually kind of pays off, not so pays off, but pays off a little bit. Is Phoebe Cates' boyfriend from Chicago.
Yeah.
So it's like she keeps talking about Don or Ron or whatever the...
It's definitely not Ron, because he's a...
whatever the hell...
salesman. Or
Ron Johnson is a stereo salesman.
It's not Ron Johnson.
But whatever the guy's name is, her boyfriend, her older guy friend.
Right.
Like, she keeps bragging throughout the movie, I'm dating this older guy from Chicago.
Yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden at the final graduation dance.
Yeah, he shows up.
She's going through. He doesn't show up.
Yeah.
And she's going through her letter to him, right. her Dear John letter.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And she's like, and I have another version where it tells him to fuck off.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Jason Leigh's like, no, the other one. She's like, okay, fine. And then all of a sudden we cut to she's dancing and having a good time.
Right.
It's like, okay, good. She has enjoyed the final moments of her senior year.
Yeah, right. Finally.
We all get it. Some jerk off from Chicago.
Yeah.
Much like Ron Johnson from Stereo City in the Square One Mall was fucking trying to get her on.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Where everybody ends in this is kind of fun because you get Mark and Stacy, they end up getting back together, and it's really,
we do get an epilogue.
Yeah, we get a nice epilogue,
but also punctuated with what was his name, James Russo, was the stick up guy at the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, Jimmy Russo,
James Russo, who was in fucking Django and the other Quentin Tarantino movie. James Russo.
Yeah.
So James Russo shows up. Judge Reinhold is working at the bootleg 7-Eleven.
Yeah,
bootleg 7-Eleven.
Yes.
And James Russo shows up. He's sticking him up. He's trying to rob the safe.
Right. And Judge
Spicoli
Reinhold
is up that ramp.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Going to take a piss up that ramp.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Which, up that ramp is one of my favorite, like, just random fucking lines that makes me laugh hysterically every time I hear, you mean up that ramp?
Up that ramp?
Yes.
Yes, up that ramp. Very fun. Yeah, and so he gets promoted to manager.
He gets promoted to manager of the Quickie Mart.
And that's ultimately what he always wanted.
Exactly. You know?
Spicoli saves Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields from drowning,
from drowning,
and then spends all the reward money on having Van Halen play his birthday party.
How much
does Brooke Shields charge for saving for drowning?
I know.
Is what I want to know.
Because
at that time in 1982, to have Van Halen play your birthday party?
Yeah. Well, it's not 1984.
Four, fuck, two, four, fuck. To get Brooke Shields from drowning, right. I would drown. Yeah. I would drown Brooke Shields at this point to try to get that much money.
Yeah, right. But it's so funny. It's also so funny on so many levels where it's like, so he saves Brooke Shields from drowning. Hilarious.
Hilarious.
Then she gives him reward money.
Reward money.
And which is ridiculous.
Right.
And then the sum of said reward money is so much that he hired Van Halen for one night.
To play his birthday party.
Yeah.
And he blew it all.
He blew it all.
So yeah. Phoebe Cates goes on to college, but she's with her philosophy teacher. She's sleeping with him.
Yeah, something like that.
Rat and Stacy are together, but they haven't fucked yet.
Yeah, or something like that.
It's like they're in a happy relationship, but haven't gone all the way.
Yeah, they're like taking it slow or something. Yeah. And then Damone gets arrested for scalping tickets.
And is working at the 7-Eleven.
And now works at the 7-Eleven.
Which paid off the joke earlier.
Yeah, where he's...
The Blue Oyster Cult joke, where he's like, I ate 37 pears. I almost started working at 7-Eleven.
Yeah, right.
Which was his first introduction to the movie.
Yeah, right. So he ends up working at the 7-Eleven. And then good little payoff. Mr. Hand still believes everybody's doing the reefer.
Everybody is on dope. Speaking of everybody being on dope, next week...
Oh, what a segue.
Oh, we are going to go on the dope next week. Jesus Christ, the roof is falling
in
on us.
That's probably the person that does the dope.
We are going to do Dazed and Confused.
We might not do the show high, but it'd be much cooler if we did.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did, man. I have so many McConaughey stories I want to tell. And
it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. See, the funny part is I had to reschedule this because
this was supposed to happen like right now.
But I wasn't able to actually watch this movie, so I'm not fully prepared to do this.
Can we get Aerosmith going? Sweet Emotions, please, Bill.
I'm so excited to take some time to do this.
I really like. Don Phillips, as I mentioned earlier, there we go.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bill. Don Phillips was the casting director of both these movies. He found all of these young actors. He is going to be a through line to both, not only our Fast Times episode here, but to next week into Dazed and Confused.
Right.
But yes, I have quite a bit of McConaughey.
I'm excited.
McConaughey stories that I'm gonna hold on to. I'm not gonna do them right now.
No, you got to do it for the show.
I gotta hold on to them. I gotta hold the gold.
Yeah, right.
Oh my god, I love it.
I
can picture that orange Charger pouring around the fucking high school parking lot.
Yeah, right. So final thoughts on Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
It's a classic. It's an absolute classic. It's a time capsule of 1980s high school. Plain and simple. American Graffiti gave us the 60s. Dazed and Confused will give us the 70s. This gave us the 80s high school. The absolute time capsule of 1980s high school.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I didn't like it the first time while I was actually experiencing high school. But having gone back, having experienced a lot of these things in one way, shape, or form, you definitely get an appreciation for it, even though it is a little bit of a time capsule for the 80s.
Amazingly, also, some of the actors that came out of this movie, because, again, this movie had, what, a $5 million budget.
Yeah.
How many of these actors, on a minimum, charge $5 million?
Oh,
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Was in this movie as an extra.
Yeah, right.
As a featured extra.
Yeah. To be fair, we could probably get Nicolas Cage to be a featured extra on this show. He'll do anything.
Oh, my God. All right. Seriously, if you're still listening to this at this point, go watch the GQ video on their Facebook page of Nicolas Cage breaking down his most iconic films. I could listen to Nicolas Cage talk about acting for days. The man is infatuating.
Yes.
He, like listening to him, I don't give a shit if he's batshit crazy.
Well, the thing
he just like he like I'm watching him like, yeah, that makes total sense. Every part of what he says makes sense to him.
Well, there's also the fact that everybody wants to make fun of Nicolas Cage, but he's actually really good as an actor.
He's good at Nicolas Caging.
Well, that's the thing. He's we've talked about it with Denzel Washington. We've talked about it with Al Pacino, mm-hmm. right? Where at this point you hire Nicolas Cage
to be Nicolas Cage,
right? He just released a trailer for a new movie.
Mandy.
Where he
looks
acting
amazing.
Where he's acting. And it's like you look at Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, right?
Batshit crazy.
But it's a different type of batshit crazy.
I've seen it. I've seen the Port of Call, New Orleans. It's insane.
Right.
I've seen the trailer for Mandy. I'm all in.
Right.
I'm all fucking in.
Right. And so it's really interesting because he definitely understands how to make it a performance. He's one of the most gravitating men in Hollywood because he's in a ton of stuff and they all make money.
He also believes every part of his shit.
Yeah.
Like, again, watching, I sat there intensely watching 20 minutes
wow.
of Nicolas Cage breaking down. And seriously,
roles. Yeah.
I encourage everybody to sit down and watch that GQ video of Nicolas Cage for 20 minutes breaking down his roles. It is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So, I would love to have Nicolas Cage sitting next to me just talking about his movies as I'm watching them.
Maybe November will be Nicolas Cage month.
I think so.
Maybe we'll get there.
We're getting the wrap up.
Yeah, we're getting the wrap up. So let's get out of here.
All right. See you next week for Dazed and Confused.
Bye, everybody.